The other man, whose name is French, was a French refugee. He was a Huguenot. His family were Huguenot. When he was 1 year old, his parents took him as a refugee family, first to Amsterdam and then to London. And then that would be about 1714. And then in 1731, most of the family came to America. Anthony Benezet settled in Philadelphia, spent most of his life there. You see, he was born earlier and lived later than Woolman. They were contemporaries, but his was, he began before and ended after Woolman, and lived not so far away from Woolman. These are two people in living in what we call today the Delaware Valley area. A very interesting contrast to Woolman. A very devoted friend, very conscientious, but much more activist than Woolman seems to be. I'm sure he did a lot of thinking. I've read lots of his letters and most of his pamphlets. On the whole, he wrote more than Woolman. He made his living as a school teacher in America. He was for a while in business, but for over 40 years he taught school. At one time he was the master at the William Penn Charter School. He taught a girls' school in Philadelphia for the daughters of the wealthy in Philadelphia. He taught a Negro night school for 20 years, in addition to his other teaching. So that he was, on the whole, that was his occupation. My interest in him is, not really that I'm a graduate of Penn Charter School, a friend, and so on, but he strikes me as a very unusual man in the versatility of his interest and the energy with which he pursued so many social concerns contemporaneous. I suppose his main concern, like Woolman's, was slavery. He wrote many tracts against slavery of a different character. His tracts were mostly objective accounts taken from people that knew the slave trade. He quoted lots of material from people that had lived, in fact, sea captains, telling just what it was like. These are the things that help not only Woolman but all the rest of the world know the cruelty involved in this slave trade. But over the years, before Mr. Brooks wrote his book and since, I keep running upon his trail in the most extraordinary way. Night before last, I got a report for the rare books in a certain library in Philadelphia here. There are two books that Anthony Benezet had given to the Bible. At a time when the publication in America was very few, perhaps 450 items a year. This is a bibliographical reference. If you look in the account of American publications, Benezet wrote on an average of 3 items a year. Well, a pretty good average in the present output of printed literature. This was his technique, the pamphlet technique of propaganda, and his interests were very widespread. He wrote letters. Let me mention some people he wrote to in England. He wrote to Thomas Clarkson, who was a leader of the anti-slavery movement there. He wrote to Richard Shackleton, who was the schoolboy friend of Edmund Burke. Ever hear that name, Edmund Burke? Well, Edmund Burke was a very influential person. He asked the Quaker, Richard Shackleton, to intervene with Edmund Burke to see what he could do against the slave trade. You see, it was all controlled in London now. He wrote to the Archbishop of Canterbury. When I was in London some years ago, I went to Lambeth Palace and looked up in the catalogue of letters anything under Anthony Benezet. I found two. He wrote one, and then he thought it was lost, and so he wrote another, so they were both there. But he thought the first one had been lost by a ship that had sunk. When Benjamin Franklin was an agent in London, he asked Benjamin Franklin, who also was anti-slavery and became president of the Philadelphia Anti-Slavery Society, to use his image. He wrote to the Queen, and he wrote to another anti-slavery leader over there, Anthony Bichon. But beside slavery, he was very active in the campaign to help the Indians. I told you last time about that organization. He was active in the Friendly Association for Making Peace with the Indians. He wrote a very early pamphlet against war. A recent book on the early American crusade against war mentions some people that wrote pamphlets about 1807. They've entirely overlooked Benezet's pamphlets 40 years earlier on temperance. He attempted to teach deaf mutes, Helen Keller type of person, one of the very pioneers in that. He was very active in attempting to abolish the duel. You know, it wasn't abolished before the revolution, you were quite aware of that. The Hessian prisoners of war, time of the American Revolution, were the object of his concern and interest. And I strongly suspect that those Hessian prisoners of war that founded Quakerism in Germany had first met it in the prison camps in America in Anthony Benezet. The French, who were not on the other side of the revolution, became acquainted with it. Their visitors over here. There were many books written by French travelers, and I checked all of them, and I found only one of all these books that didn't mention Anthony Benezet. And then I looked up the original French edition of that book, and I found even it did. So that you see what the kind of a chase a man like this gives you when you're trying to find out the variety and the ramifications of his influence. Perhaps he's best known in literature by the fact that when the refugees from Acadia, Nova Scotia, were knocked, put out by the British and scattered down the Atlantic seaboard, he was the man that went to the Philadelphia legislature, the Pennsylvania legislature, and secured grants of support, and also raised money privately. One day his wife said to him, "What is it? Where are those blankets I bought the other day?" And Anthony Benezet thought about it. He said, "My dear, I think I must have given them to the French neutrals, those of the Acadians." This story, this not that episode, but the general episode is known from Longfellow's Evangeline. So behind that poem, there is this figure of Benezet. Well, I thought you ought to know of this kind of a person. I suggested to you what happens when you're beginning to track down a very active and many-sided person.
Would it be possible to get some makeup exams when people aren't here?
Yes, if you know where to give them.
Yes, I know where to give them.
I think I know where you're going to give them.
Well, Alan Sutherland.
I'll do that later.